Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Arts. I'm your host, Malvin Massey. And of course, every Friday we talk to the movers and shakers of the arts community, the people that are making things happen for your entertainment benefit in mind. And this time in the arts community, it's a guy stepping out. Well, I don't know. He's an author. Professor Alan Lightman. He is born and raised in Memphis. He's a theoretical physicist and adjunct professor of the humanities at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, author of several books, including Einstein's Dreams, and his new novel, Mr. G. It's the story of creation as told by God. And, well, he's on the phone with us right now, and I'm thrilled to talk to him, Professor Alan Lightman. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Malvin. It's very nice to be on your program again.
Well, thank you. Yes, I enjoyed the conversation we had last time, and this time, and again, you have proven yourself to be more than just a theoretical physicist. You're also a philosopher.
Well, I think physics is one of those scientific disciplines that's on the edge of philosophy and religion. It's pretty far out there.
Yeah. Do you have trouble within the community as far as your separation of religion and physics?
No, I don't. There's a wide range of religious beliefs among scientists, going from devout believers to atheists, and so I think as long as everybody's respectful of everybody else, there's no problem.
Yeah, I think Stephen Hawking was the last time that I heard somebody come out and actually say there is no God or something like that.
Well, he may have said that. The most prominent scientist who has spoken out against religion is a guy named Richard Dawkins, who's a evolutionary biologist, British scientist.
But
I think scientists have spoken out both pro and con,
right,
for hundreds of years.
And you've written novels, poems, and such essays as The Accidental Universe, Science's Crisis of Faith, which means that you're interested in this situation in more than just a clinical sense. But the new novel that you're here, as a matter of fact, before I forget to tell everybody, Mr. Lightman, Professor Lightman, will be here in Memphis for a book signing on November the 16th at 7:30 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church. That's the Church of the River. And the topic is science, arts, and religion. And we are looking forward to that. And I take it that one of the major things will be your new book, the new novel that's out called Mr. G.
Well, I'm not really going to talk about the book on Friday night, the 16th. I'll be talking about the differences and similarities between science and art, including religion, since a lot of the artistic experience is similar to the religious experience. I probably won't say much about my new book, Mr. G, unless someone asks me about it.
Well, I mean, it's got to be part of the topic because it's this, what you're talking about, science, arts,
it's
and religion.
Part of the topic, yeah. It's a novel, so it's an imaginative situation in which God lives in the void with his aunt and uncle. And he creates the universe, and his aunt and uncle are constantly giving him advice about how to do things. And once intelligent life arises in the universe, then God, who is called Mr. G in my book, has to deal with their various ethical dilemmas, or is concerned about their ethical dilemmas and their suffering and so on.
Yeah.
But the book is told from God's point of view. God, Mr. G, is the narrator of the book.
Yeah.
So it does have a suggestion of an intersection of science and religion, because God, of course, has to use chemistry and physics and biology to create the universe. He's a very good scientist, much better than me.
It's one of those things that that if you look at it seriously, you know, the processes that cause creation in the first place are all, well, I guess nature is God, if you put it in a religious sense or And science, yeah. It's both of them mixed together, science and religion.
Yeah. Well, in my novel, Mr. G, once he creates the universe, he does not intervene. He doesn't impose himself in the creation to perform miracles. He just lets his laws, which he lays down at the beginning, his laws of nature, govern everything. And that kind of view of religion is completely consistent with science. The kind of view that's not consistent with science is a God who is constantly intervening and performing miracles, which is actually the kind of God that most religions support. So the God in my book is really not the God of most organized religions.
Yeah. But the theory itself, though, the idea, rather, of religion being a religion standing on its own as opposed to theoretical physics or physics and science itself.
Yes.
The two work together at the same time. They're different. There are different reasons for each thing. Could you expound a little bit on the difference between thinking of a thing scientifically and thinking of a thing religiously?
Well, I think that science deals with the physical universe. The world, the universe of matter and energy, and it has very good descriptions of things, and it has rules that it discovers for how things behave, like the trajectory of a ball if you throw it up in the air. And I think religion is much more of a personal experience. The most powerful religious experiences that people have had have been very personal, where a person has this feels this connection to something very big, and that's an experience that can't really be read about in a book. It you can't tell someone about it. It has to be experienced by the individual, and that transcendent experience I think is the real power behind religion, but it's subjective. And so I think that's one of the big differences between science and religion. And science, no matter how emotionally attached a scientist is to something that she's working on, in the end, it has to be duplicated by other people in other laboratories, or an equation re-derived. It's an objective thing outside of her head. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think with religion, the power of it comes from the very personal experience, which is not really duplicatable. It has to be experienced by the person. So that's one difference I see between science and religion, and they both have their own validity and their own territory.
They both need to exist as entities of their own.
I think they both need to exist. I think that history has shown us that they both need to exist, because science and religion have been the two most powerful forces that have shaped human civilization. And so there's clearly a need for both within the human being, the human spirit.
Yeah, atheism could not work on its own. I remember that old saying, there are no atheists in a foxhole in World War II. At some time or another within your life, you're going to call on a superior being, because you don't have that faith in yourself that you can handle a certain situation.
I think that's true for most people. Yes.
Yes. If you just tuned in, by the way, this is Focus on the Arts. We are talking to Professor Alan Lightman. He's a professor of physics and humanities at MIT and author of several novels, poems, and such essays as The Accidental Universe, Science's Crisis of Faith, and Einstein's Dreams and Others. And he will be here in Memphis at a book signing Friday, November 16th, 7:30 p.m. It'll be at the First Unitarian Church, and that's the Church of the River. And the topic science, arts, and religion are what will be discussed. And for information, the number to call is 526-8631, 526-8631, or you can look at churchoftheriver.org and find more information, and we'll give you that information toward the end of this interview as well as we're talking with him. But I've got, Alan, I was reading this story that you told about you and your wife and your osprey and the ospreys.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was probably one of the most profound little stories I've ever read.
Well, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was within an essay that I was writing about science and spirituality, and I was making the point that there are experiences that we have that are not subject to the analysis of science, are not reducible to equations or any kind of objective understanding. They're just powerful experiences that we accept without proof, without we accept on a basis of faith. And my wife and I live in the summer on a little island in Maine, and there's an osprey's nest near our house. And every year the mother and father osprey come to the nest about the same time around April. The mother lays eggs. The eggs hatch. The babies grow up over a period of 2 months, and by the end of the summer, the babies take their first flight and fly and then leave the nest and don't come back, and the parents come back the next summer and do it all over again. And mm-hmm. my wife and I sort of watched this life cycle for about 10 years. And one summer, I had been standing up on the deck of my house on the second floor, so it was high up. It was about the same height as the nest. And I'd been looking at these two baby birds growing up all through the summer. And they'd been looking at me, and they'd been, of course, trapped in their nest because they weren't big enough to fly yet. But we'd been sort of looking at each other every day for a couple of months. And one day, the birds took their first flight, and they zoomed around in about a half-mile arc, and they headed straight for me at very high speed. Now, even though these were young ospreys, they're very big birds. They have powerful claws, and they could have ripped my head off. And I was a little frightened at first, and they headed straight towards me at huge speed. And then about when they got within about 20 feet of me, they did this high acceleration upward and swooped over my head. And after they went by me, I realized that I was trembling. I was shaking. And for about maybe a quarter or a half of a second, a very brief moment, right before they accelerated upwards and veered over my head, the two of them made eye contact with me. They looked me straight in the eye. And that feeling of connection with them was the most powerful connection I've had with any animal, and even more than with a few people. It was a feeling of like they were telling me that we're your brothers on this island. We've shared the land with you. You've been in your nest, and we've been in ours, and we just wanted to acknowledge that mm-hmm. we've shared this space together. Yeah. That was the message that I got in that half-second eye contact, and it was just an incredibly powerful connection to, I guess, to the spiritual world.
Yeah.
And I was left in tears.
Wow. But everything was in that. The research that you did, or cataloging of the data, of how the birds did, everything they did, that was the scientific side of it. And that little experience, that was the religious side of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't mention that when I just told the story that for the 2 months that the birds were growing up, I kept a notebook of watching their movements, and but none of that equaled none of those facts and figures that I wrote down could compare to that half second of eye contact.
Wow. You know, this is going to be very interesting to hear you talking about this. And it's going to be a book signing. It'll be Friday, November the 16th at 7:30 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church. That's the Church of the River. And the topic, science, arts, and religion. The number to call, 526-8631, 526-8631 for more information. Or go to churchoftheriver.org, churchoftheriver.org. Professor Alan Lightman, who is a professor of physics and humanities and a philosopher as well. Thanks so much for talking with us, Alan. We're looking forward to meeting you when you get in town.
Thank you, Melvin. It's very, very nice to be on your program.
Well, thank you again. And yes, and welcome back home.
It's nice to be back again. Thank you.
All right. And this has been Focus on the Arts. We'll do it again next week. In the meantime, you're back for more of the best in jazz. This is U92 FM.